Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Happy holidays. Ho, ho, ho. Santa is coming. Were you a good boy or a good girl this year? Tons of people I'm talking to are just wrapping up their accounting books this year. I hope your global business is wrapping up to a good one. I've been getting lots of emails from listeners and readers on the blog looking to get set up with their businesses here in Hong Kong in the new year. And I'm also excited to announce that I am a full-on agency, so I can help you register and file your company or upkeep if you want to see some offerings. I have the full menu. I'm trying to make it as transparent and clear and detailed as possible at globalfromasia.com/products. I'm already helping a lot of people with pretty complex tax and international business situations, and I love the challenge and I love learning it. So if you have some questions for me, I'd love to hear from you. Also, there's a toy show coming up in Hong Kong in the middle of January, and some of you guys like Colin and John have reached out to meet. Colin and I got to hang out last year when he was here, and he gave me some baby toy gifts. Miles loves them. Thanks again, Colin. No pressure for others to give me baby gifts, but we should get a time to all catch up if you're in town, maybe for the toy show or maybe just in Hong Kong. Let's just do a general easygoing meetup on Tuesday, January 12th at 7 p.m. We'll just do it at my office in TST, keep it a little bit less formal, maybe just order food takeout if you want. I'll just be hanging out from 7 to 9 p.m. Just maybe if you guys want to meet and get to know each other. I'll have some other friends coming in. So if you're in town, you want to get more info, check it out at globalfromasia.com/event03. Just kind of experimenting with these in-person meetups. So I appreciate the feedback and hope to see you there. So this week's episode, we have our first ever live recording at the office lunch party last month in November. And we had my friend Mike the Greek, which has a bit of a story of how we got to meet, how he came to Asia, how his business has developed over the years, doing some freelancing and doing some e-commerce. So we also have fun stories with the audience interacting at the end, and it's a little bit interesting stuff. So I like this format. I hope you do too. And at the end, we'll have some fun stories to share too. So stay tuned. So we are live in Hong Kong, and this is an experiment, as everything in things that we do here. So we have a good group of friends that are here for the first live recording of the Global from Asia podcast. It's in TST of Kowloon District. We're recording on Tuesday evening, November 24th. I think it's going to probably be a week or two that this comes online, and we have with us a guest and a friend, Mike. I'm not going to try to say your last name, so I'm just going to say Mike the Greek. And maybe for the record, can you say your actually full name?
All right. Hello, everybody. So my name, is Mike. Actually, my official name is Mikhail, but only the government actually is using it like this, so no need to keep these formalities. You can just call me Mike. And my surname, well, that's the difficult part. It's Ustamanolakis. So if you are really curious, like what it means or how I got this name, feel free to shoot me an email and I give you the full picture.
So that's a Greek name. So that's how you got Mike the Greek. And I like the story of how we met. I was in Shanghai at a startup weekend helping organize, and Mike, Brian Tom introduced me. He's like, there's this guy, he's a designer and he's a cool dude, and I think it's public to say you're having like visa issues in China and you're like looking for other places. And then I met you, I think, in Burger King in the back of Jing'an Temple on like a rainy weekday evening. And maybe you can finish the story. How did you get to Shanghai and what happened?
Yeah, so the long story is that, it starts from Greece, of course. And I was studying graphic design. And my education wasn't really like creative. It was more technical, like how you print, how you deal with the design process and so on. And yeah, I felt like something is missing. So I thought I need to expand my horizon. So I decided to go abroad to study further. I did one master program in Netherlands called Master of Design. And yeah, in Netherlands, they treat design as art. But for me, that's kind of wrong because, I mean, design is about solving problems. It's not making a statement. So I thought, okay, now I have a master diploma. I'm a kind of expert in art. So what? I need some business thinking, some entrepreneurial like mindset. So I found another program in Sweden, which is business design. And I thought, well, that sounds like pretty interesting. So I went there in Sweden. I did 1 year in Sweden and then second year in Shanghai. Shanghai completely like blew my mind away. I was like, wow, what is this place? It's like so insane. It's like so fast, so many things like happening. And then you see that as a city, as a place, it's like a market in progress, like a lot of different ideas being tested, a lot of different ideas being like shoot, like out there. And then like you just see that there is a lot of failures and a lot of people are trying to like do things. So I was completely amazed by being there and feeling all this vibe of the city. So I decided, okay, this is the place to stay. However, being there as a student, I mean, it's quite easy to stay. But once your student visa like expires, it's very difficult to get any type of visa if you are a solo entrepreneur or a freelancer or so. So that's where I met Mike. And what can I say? You were trying to employ me in Shenzhen. So I get involved with like social agents. But yeah. Then... I remember I heard something from the government saying there is no license to hire a foreigner or something like that.
Yeah, I think some people in this room might remember Amy that used to work with us. And yeah, she was great and very persistent. So I remember I was just really busy working. We flew to Shenzhen together. Yeah. I remember we took a plane together and on the plane, you're helping me do some design work for the social agent mobile app. And you're sketching out like different user flow and yeah, and
the experience. I remember working on the menu.
Yeah, on the airplane. And yeah, so the visa issue was difficult. Actually, there's somebody else in this room that had issues too with visa. I don't know. I think that it's hard to at least for smaller foreign companies to employ foreigners in China or probably even in Hong Kong too, but. And then you ended up in Hong Kong, right? So, let's talk a little bit about Shenzhen. So you were there for maybe a week or so. And I think my girlfriend at the time, Wendy, but now my wife was trying to get you married, I think, to get a visa. We were thinking about having like a pivot with social agent and pimping you out to reps to try to get you a wife or what was happening?
Well, I remember she was going through her WeChat contacts and saying... How about this one? Maybe that one. How about this one? And then you were commenting on the way one of like the girls was walking, as I remember. It was pretty funny.
Don't remember that. But anyway, I think so. Then you made it to Hong Kong. And I think you invested some people here to help you out. And then you went into freelancing. And that was like 2 years. Time is flying, right? So that was 2 years ago.
Yeah. It was October 2013. Yeah, so I came to Hong Kong, like directly from China. And then like one of Mike's contacts when I was out, he told me, hey, why don't you register your own company in Hong Kong? When this is something I haven't even thought, like being in China. And I was like, oh, really? And then he just told me it takes like 4 days to do so. Like if you're more lousy, it will take you 1.5 weeks. And I was like, oh, that's perfect. And actually I moved to Hong Kong and started working from like day one with Jeff yeah. Brewer. And yeah, Mike introduced me to Jeff.
It's more Jeff did work. But yeah, I mean, I think there's lots of opportunities here as freelancer. And we've had other shows on the podcast where if you have skills, I think in technology or design, I think there's people probably in the room would agree, right? There's a lot of opportunity in Hong Kong for that. How's that been going? Is that what you're doing now? Or I know you've been doing a lot of different things. So
yes, it's actually like most of the places, like finding customers is the biggest challenge. And then how do you find customers? You pretty much find them with referrals most of the times. Doing cold calls is not a very easy thing to do. And then, of course, I have a sales process where I go through quite frequently and see what projects are being posted and what's going on and if there is anything I could contribute. But yeah, if you have the right contacts, then you can get the proper feet and move onwards.
And then we were preparing for the show and you were saying which I somewhat agree is it's hard to just be project to project, right? So the cash flow is not so stable and we're going to have some things that might need a video better than audio, but you were talking about some other ventures you were looking into. Do you want to share a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So I have a lot of different ideas on my mind. So I was looking what other type of ventures or businesses I could get involved to. And it just happened that one during a few weeks, within 2-3 weeks, I had 4 or 5 different people and they all asked me for a business card. And I thought, oh, how about I just have a website that has a bunch of business cards, maybe multiple designs, and then people pick one and then they contact me and then I keep modifying this design, personalize it and give them a personal design. So the website is the starting point of for inspiration. And I started doing that. So this is one of the things I'm currently working on. I have worked out a service where you go to the website, you browse different designs, you find one that you like, then you contact us. You pretty much give us all your details, what you want to be, if there is anything you would like to modify, if there is different icons you would like to have, different graphics. And then we just take care of everything regarding to design. And then we go to a local Hong Kong printer and we print the cards and ship them out to you directly. And this is also something we came to find out from customers, freelance customers I had before who told me, oh, it's so frustrating to contact printers in Hong Kong because they don't know what I want. They try to tell me something different than what I'm asking. And then it's too confusing with the communication. They have many different prices. So there were so many different problems that all these customers were having when they were getting in touch with the printers. And well, as a designer, I have worked a lot with printers previously. So I know exactly what are the specifications of each job. So for me, it's quite easy to contact them because I know exactly what I want. And this is what I'm selling to customers as a service. So it's part of the whole service. And then, the amazing thing in Hong Kong is all these logistics networks. You get so many couriers. So the Hong Kong post office is so efficient. And then it's very easy to just sell your products locally if you want to distribute directly to the customer.
Were you thinking about doing packaging design or you were just maybe looking at shops in Hong Kong? But, I think you're a much more detail-oriented person than me, so I don't notice these things. But he was saying, I don't know if you guys notice in the audience, but all the different places in the world, all the products are just kind of mashed up here. And there's some shops popping up that we might try to get on a show in the future, 360 and some others that are just pulling in imports from all around the world. And maybe you kind of toured me around one of these shops once, and maybe we can make a video show one day about it. But can you give us some highlights about some of the packaging you've noticed here?
Yeah, sure. So this is something I find amazing in Hong Kong. Every culture, every country, every market, they have their own visual identity. There is certain things that every market, you would find the package of the milk or the chips, the potato chips and so on, all these ordinary products. They have their own local identity in those specific markets. And then the amazing thing in Hong Kong is that you just go to the supermarket in the corner and then you find this product in some language you don't even know what it is. And then everything is just, well, not everything, but many products are designed for a different market than Hong Kong. And then they're just being brought here as they are. And yeah, I was asking my girlfriend, like, can you read all of these like languages? And she was saying, yeah, of course not. But you judge from the package. Like if it's a good product from Korea, then you just know it's good and you just buy it from that. And I was wondering, like, hey, how do you make a judgment? Like if a product is good only from the like visuals? Yeah, actually, that's the way it goes here. You pretty much judge the design. You don't judge the text. You don't judge the like all the verbal information, all the textual information. You pretty much make a judgment on the product, like based on the like visuals, on the package, on the colors and so on. And this is like quite contradictory with most of the design education you will receive, because you always get like this kind of instructions, like, okay, this country, use red for this. That country, use blue for the same thing, and so on. And it seems that all these rules, they do not apply in Hong Kong, because like Hong Kong is this kind of this mixed up place where every product is being brought and sold as is, and the only modification that you have is the like food label that is being put like on top. And then you find out the name of the product pretty much from the price label, which is on the shelf on the supermarket. And yeah, for me being designer, going to a Hong Kong supermarket is like going to a like design museum or so, with all the.
Yeah, with, you gotta go shopping with this
guy,
seriously.
So I'm
looking at all the packaging. Like, I just look at it like it's a pack of tea or something. But he's like,
you found Greek tea, right? I think in the shop or what? And because you're from Greece and.
No, actually, it wasn't. It was not Greek tea. It was some Greek yogurt that had blueberries on it. And I'm like, wow, you know, blueberries don't even exist in like the Greek like landscape, but still, this product like does exist. And it was actually in Marks and Spencer. So this is a British supermarket. So it's a product made for like a British customer. But somehow it's being brought up like here in Hong Kong. And this is part of like the consumer choices we have like in here.
So you got to report back to the Greek cultural department about this violation of blueberries in the Greek yogurt.
Well, I would say it's... well, for me being Greek, I would say I'm both like amazed that they invented a new product based on something. Like, sorry, it sounds like a little bit random, but also I find it like amusing at the same time. It's kind of entertaining.
Cool. So back to your business card business. So you started at like, I kind of remember hanging out at Blueprint, co-working with Chris here, and you were kind of building the site out. How has that been going? So basically you were just mentioning your main advantage was you were designing the cards, you're designing some of the visual for clients here, but they were complaining about the printing process, and then that's what you...
Yeah, so it's very easy to do business in Hong Kong, like speaking English, but then some type of services can be quite challenging for non-Cantonese speakers, and one of these is printing. And I think it has to do with the fact that the like the people where they work, like in printing, they are not like, how can I say... politically, so they are not the high level educated people who were good like in English at like school. And for customers trying to print their cards, yeah, it can be very challenging trying to say like, hey, I want this embossing on my card, and I want the other side to have some like different types of printing. You can do like embossing, you can do the stamp foiling and so on. And then if you go and ask like, hey, I want a stamp foiling on the front and I want the embossing on the back, then they will not know what like you are talking about, even though that's just like their job. They should know about printing, but this is English, and so it becomes a language barrier. And for me, it's much easier to communicate and show them, like even in Chinese now I can even read the platform of one of my printing partners. It's like completely in Chinese and I can place an order like directly like there. But it's quite straightforward what exactly I need and what customers ask me. I know what exactly it is. And so it's, for me, it's very easy to place an order. So this is part of the service.
Fun fact, our pizza tonight, we don't speak Cantonese here. Andre, he's awesome, and he helped order it, but they don't speak English when you call. So they say, like, no English, call back. And then you give them the number, and then they have an English-speaking person call you back to take the order for the pizza. So that's how we're getting our food today. So this is a little fun fact. But we're also, if you guys want to start thinking about some stories, we might have some people in here today if they want to share some stories about customer service incidents in Hong Kong. We can come back to that. But if anybody has something, it'd be cool if we can get some people sharing. But I think we have one couple more points. Is you had some fun stories in doing business or just in as a customer here. Do you want to share some?
Yeah, sure. So there is like many shipping companies in like Hong Kong. So if you want to ship your products, you have many choices. And then I wanted to ship some business cards to a customer who is in Yuen Long. So Yuen Long is like quite far. And then there is a surcharge for the distance, like $30 extra. So I went to like this courier who, like, his English was quite poor. And because he didn't know how to ask me to pay those $30, I didn't have to pay. And that was pretty hilarious that I was like, so is it just $20? It's not $50? And he was saying, yeah, $20. I was like, so no $50? And he was like, yeah, $20. So it seems that, yeah, it was pretty funny.
Anybody have some stories they want to share? I've put on the spot. But we can come back to it. I maybe could have prepared earlier. But yeah, I mean, I think hopefully that's a differentiator for you long term. What's your long term plan here in Hong Kong and business?
Well, I'm like looking at like doing more different things. So I'm always interested in new like ideas, new like business ideas to do. So for the time being, I'm trying to grow my business card business, and I'm also doing some freelancing like at the same time. Long term wise, I'm not really sure if I will stay permanently in Hong Kong. It's I find it a very interesting place. It's a very many things to do, but like overall, I think it's maybe a little bit crowded.
So this isn't in my show notes, so we can edit this out. But so that's how I roll with this show. But I guess the people here can learn. But how about your girlfriend? Is she wife to be, or she's local Hong Kong? That might help out. You know.
Well, this is also partially like part of the thing. So she is from Hong Kong, but she doesn't want to live in Hong Kong forever. So it's making an exit is easier. And yeah, about your wife question, I haven't planned it yet, but well, I don't want to release any information.
Cool, man. Thanks for being a good sport. And all right, well, you know, that's about... Cool. All right, we have John here.
So, unique thing for Hong Kong. So, there's a red light district in Yamate. Oddly enough, it's where you can go to the hardware stores, and then you can go to the... they're not technically brothels, because brothels are illegal, but there are multiple ladies that provide services in rooms. But, so, regarding the brothels that are not brothels... So they're pink neon lighting and everything. But what's really interesting is they actually put up in three or four different languages descriptions selling the services of what's available. And each one is catered to the language that is given in. So, like, Chinese is talking about how it's a legit service and, you know, you're gonna enjoy it. And, you know, the English is how beautiful the ladies are and whatever. And then what was the third language?
Japanese.
Japanese was.
I would just copy everything from those.
Oh yeah, from porn. So it's like the Japanese porn DVD, you know, text, you know, like describing the ladies. So yeah, so that's actually something pretty unique that actually ties into the whole packaging thing, where but kind of in reverse, where it's like localized in a very ultra way. So
awesome. Cool. I should get some extra downloads for this show. I could put some keywords in it. Thanks, John. Thanks. All right, cool. So this is the first time we did a audience recording, and yeah, like the office is opened. It's been open actually. Andre, I'll plug him later, but he's taking care of operations. So Andre has the space here, and it's been about a year that he's been had a lease here. Actually, he's been talking to me for a long time to have an event here, and I'm kind of getting comfortable just doing the recorded in my house in China. But you know, I've been getting busier helping people set up companies here and being more of like a traditional agency and just an address. So I said, hey, Andre, I don't need a space, but can I just like put a whole bunch of companies here? And how much do you want for that? And then he's like, I have a whole space here. And I can help set up a studio and we can have like a TV show. And I'm here and I'm like, man, like, I don't know if I need all these. Like, Look, we don't even need to buy anything. Like, I got curtains. I have everything you need. I'm like, you can bring some lights. And I'm like, all right. And we're talking about numbers. And then actually another motivator I've always plugged, like Dynamite Circle. I went to that meetup in Bangkok and it really like inspired me to take some new risks and make some more moves. So when I came back, I just came back to Andre. I'm like, because I was like, tell him, like, let me go to like this conference and see how I feel after. So I came back and I'm like, let's do it November 1st. So, you know, he's also pretty flexible. So he's a pretty good landlord or sub-landlord or whatever. And I think he's taking a bigger risk on this than me. And if anybody else wants this studio for recording podcasts or massage parlors, I think you can install pink lights if you need them. And yeah, it's a pretty interesting place, and hopefully we'll do more. I'd love feedback from I don't know how the quality seems to be okay. I've been watching the recorder, so I think the quality should be fine for people listening today. And of course, I'd love feedback and ideas. We have it recorded on video, but it's more of a test. We'll see how it looks, and I think Andre is getting into video editing, hopefully, because I'm not. And all right, that's a wrap, guys. And thanks for coming and thanks for listening.
So hope you guys liked that format. Was it okay? The sound quality came out okay. We just went live at the audience and we only had one microphone. I was just passing the mic back and forth. I'm thinking about trying to make some investments like Dan and Ian at Tropical MBA. They have a good blog post about how they have their portable podcast studio. So it's a little bit of an investment, about $1,000. I'm trying to make this decision to bite the bullet or not. If you want to check out all that equipment, I'll link it up in the show notes. And, you know, it's year end, and I always say I live off feedback. So I put together a survey this year. It's a pretty quick and simple one. I used it a lot last year's for shows coming this year, like the Factory Consumer Show with Wilson Blues. That was from a survey response that we got. So I'd love your feedback. The more, the better. It's a quick Google form, no email required. globalfromasia.com/survey. I just want real and honest feedback. You can be anonymous and tear me apart if you think it needs it. Okay, until next time, see you in 2016. We have a lot of awesome shows already recorded and ready to rock. The next show we're going to have is about the Hong Kong Entrepreneur Visa and how it's changed since the traditional investment visa. That'll be on Tuesday, January 5th, 2016. It's still pretty cool to be saying 2016. So happy holidays again. Be safe. Don't overeat and appreciate the people around you. And remember, life is short, so we got to appreciate it. Take care.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.